Exactly. He price gouges.
Talk radio.
You know where you should find your ass. Well, he went and tried to fight me when I wrote Danny's name on the check. I looked at him and I said, you couldn't figure out how to spell Umbana. I don't think you could spell Snyder either.
Welcome to Low Down and
dirty. Presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the mile at Syracuse to the bull rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Lowdown and Dirty. Our dear friend, Mr. Brian Whippy Whitman, nor Scott Deal is with us this evening. So brought a couple good friends in. Mike Feltenberger, as always, a welcome addition to the show. Welcome aboard, Mike.
Glad to be here.
Also in studio, unfortunately not mic'd up, but maybe later, our good friend, Mark the Shark Garmin. Fresh off of root canal surgery this morning. Ready to go. Also, behind the controls, it's been a long, long time. Not only the one, the only, the queen, Miss Tammy Allman. Thank you for coming back in, Tammy. It's good to see you. And, oh, yes, we have a pet in here tonight. Tammy has been nice enough to bring her her dog, Dakota. Dakota is actually a very beautiful young lady. And she's being very nice right now. As long as we keep giving her Scooby snaps, and we're going to be set. Aha. Uh-huh. Kind of a weird week of racing, Mike. Not much going on Friday. A little wet. There almost wasn't a whole lot going on Saturday locally for us here either. It was a little wet. But somehow, some way, Grandview Speedway managed to get at least a partial show in. I believe the first heat went on to the speedway at around 10 o'clock. 10:10. Sharkman informs me it was 10:10. So, awesome effort by Kenny Rogers, Brad Missimer, the entire track crew for getting everything ready. I would like to thank the fans for sticking around. It was a very nice crowd, and appreciate you guys hanging out and seeing some good racing. So hats off to everybody.
I'd like to thank Mark Kratz for being the first car out. And once he went out, everybody followed him. So
it takes
that was
one
a,
to get
that
it
was
going.
A good deal there.
Absolutely. It was actually, once things got going, even though it was a little bit late, it was a very interesting turn of event. Track was a little bit slimy up top. What are you going to do? I mean, it poured. They tried the best thing, anything that they could do to get dried out. They were actually trying to get the guys to move up, you know, during caution laps and everything like that. But it was a little slimy up top, a little slimy down on the bottom. But, man, everybody was a rocket ship on Saturday night, that's for sure.
Especially when you look at the finish, where these guys came from in the top, you know, the winner, Cozy, came from 28th to first.
Dead last.
And then it's also Strunk was third and Von Doren was fourth. Well, they went to the rear for accidents.
So
did. Incredible, the idea of going from the – and I guess Kyle Weiss came from, like, 22nd.
Yeah. Hats off to Kyle Weiss, man. He had an awesome, awesome run. Yeah, he just was fantastic. For those of you who were not at Grandview Speedway, the rundown for the Welland Engineering Night NASCAR 358 Modified, the feature did go to Frank Cozy. He was followed by Kyle Weiss. Third was Jeff Strunk. Fourth was Craig Van Doren, and fifth was Mike Gohler. Very good run for Mike Gohler. It's nice to see him in the top five. Again, as Mike mentioned earlier, Frank and Dwayne Howard were Conti cars. Frank did start last, and Dwayne caught the lead. I think Bobby led for about 17, Bobby Gunther Walsh. Man, he kept the car straight, kept it underneath him. Guy looked fabulous. Dwayne was just a little bit faster, got around him. I think with like two or three to go,
Bobby
running
broke
second.
Running
yeah,
second.
Bobby broke running second.
And then Dwayne,
broke. Did you ever get the skinny on what happened to Dwayne? I never heard anything. I didn't get a chance
Everybody
to talk
Everybody said it was a fuel pump, but as soon as they threw the checker, he started the car and drove right into the pits.
He
so.
Drove into the pits. I did see that. Maybe it was an electrical deal. I don't know.
Unless they thought maybe this was, you know, the fuel issue and
yeah.
They didn't put enough in, wanted to make it light for the slick, the hard track or the heavy track and paid the price at the end. But all in all, it was still a good night of racing.
if you're listening and you got the skinny on what happened to Dwayne, call us. Let us know. Area code 646-649-1899. We'd like to know. We don't want to speculate. We've just been hearing some things. So Cozy wasn't necessarily handed the feature win because he earned his way. As you said, Mike, he started dead last. He was super, super fast. And I would personally like to congratulate Norm Hansel and Jay Thomas, Buddy and Michelle, the entire crew, John. Those guys work hard week in and week out. Very, very happy to see those guys win. And big congratulations to those guys and, of course, to Frank. So he was on it, man.
Hall of Fame driver Frank Cozy. I wish we were going to try to get him on tonight. I would have liked to have asked him if there's something in his career that he's still a bucket list that he would still like, you know, to do before he retires. But we'll get him on.
Absolutely. Definitely got to get him on. He's been at this game for a long, long time.
But the sportsman's on, the sportsman class on Saturday night, they didn't leave anything in the pit area. They came out. Paul Klein and his team stumped into the fourth turn wall, stepped backwards down the first straightaway. They took the But come future time, and I said his wife should back him upside down.
I did say that.
Hell of a morning, came up through the back for second.
Yeah.
So, and the man of a thousand voices, Tom Miller. I'm hoping they get him to sing the national anthem at Grammy tonight because he does a great rendition as Elvis. He still sings it the way it's supposed to be sung. So get Tom Miller, a third place finish for Tom Miller. In fact, Tom Miller and I used to be on the same softball team.
Is that right?
State finals in our on softball, and he was an all-star in the Pennsylvania State Tournament. He was an all-star third baseman and great softball player. And it didn't look pretty bad. Didn't look too bad behind the steering wheel of the 77 on Saturday night either.
Yeah, he had a great run. Yeah, taking a check of Ty Laurels at the Sportsman Division was Jared Umbernauer. He was a rocket ship all night. And as you mentioned, Paul Klein, after getting his bell rung a little bit in that early heat race jingle, Tom Merrill was third. Craig Whitmore was fourth. Kenny Gilmore was fifth.
They came from the back of the pack, too.
They did.
So incredible. Just
great racing all over the place.
Sometimes they say Mother Nature prepares a better racetrack than the actual track prep, and I think it helped a lot on Saturday night.
Changed things around a little bit. Hey, we got a big deal happening at the Montgomery County Quarter Midget Club this weekend. They are having the Gen Next Dirt Triple Crown National Championship Series, round number two. It's the Eastern Storm. They're going to have practice on Friday from 5 to 8. Racing is on Saturday from 9 a.m., practice heats and lower mains, and then Sunday the racing starts at 9 a.m. for all the A mains. Drivers from all over will be attending this event. I mean, this is going to be a USAC-sanctioned event, so this is a pretty huge deal. As always, it's free to spectators. So if you're not doing anything Saturday or Sunday, if you're not going to head to Grandview or Bridgeport or New Egypt or whatever's going on, stop there and see those guys. Sunday, you don't have anything going on. You're going to see the future stars of tomorrow. There's no question about that. A lot of kids, Mike and I talked about this earlier this week on the phone, about how many racers that we see weekly in the big leagues that came from the quarter midget go-kart ranks. It's phenomenal. It's where all these kids cut their teeth at. So get down there. Check them out. Please support them. Also, they are racing every Wednesday night right now through September 4th with rain dates of Thursday nights. They also race two Saturdays a month on the 2nd and the 4th. So if you need any more information from Montgomery County Quarter Midget Club, they can be reached at www.mcqmrc.com. Great people, great organization. Check them out. That is Phoenixville, Mark.
Phoenixville, yes.
And that is? I was just informed that a recent Montgomery County Quarter Midget graduate, Corey Merkel, is going to be making his debut at the Grandview Speedway Saturday night. He's going to be in a late model, a 118, a 117. That's awesome.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I mean, from Shellhammer, we were going to try to get Brendan Dave Courtier on from Shellhammers, but from Shellhammers alone, you had Doug Mann Miller, you have Jeff Strunk.
Mm-hmm.
From the Slingshots, you had Merkel, you had Billy Pouch Jr., you have Brian Smith in the 410 Sprint cars. You also have that Anthony Perego that runs up in the Orange County Accord area. Mm-hmm. You have Kyle Ebersole, who was actually in the NASCAR modified race.
Yes.
At Loudon, New Hampshire. He was a Slingshot graduate. So these small car classes are doing a great job of feeding the bigger car classes as these guys get older.
They really are. Speaking of small car action, track you're very familiar with, Mr. Feltenberger, the Action Track USA of Kutztown Speedway, Wednesday nights.
You made a visit there last week, didn't you?
I did. I made my inaugural.
You told the flag man he sucked.
I told him that 2 weeks ago, even before I got there. But anyway, for those of you who don't know, Mike Feltenberger is the official starter at the Action Track, along with his good buddy, John.
John Goulden.
John's an awesome dude. John can be found at the Golden Bear, as Mark calls him. Yeah, John can be found at the front gate each and every Saturday night at the Grandview Speedway. Really good people. Very popular win. And this kind of blows my mind a little bit. Kenny Brightbill picked up the Speedster victory. This was his first ever Speedster victory. It's amazing. A guy with accolades like that actually does something for the first time. And Mark
there
said,
was four Reading Fairgrounds Kenny Brightbill T-shirts standing in the fence at Victory Lane.
That is true.
Even Carol Brightbill, Kenny's wife, said, I've known these people for over 30 years that are standing there congratulating at the gate. That the fence congratulating Kenny now.
Yeah, you got to get out there to the Action Track USA. It's amazing how many old school Kenny Brightbill T-shirts there are. They're everywhere. Yeah, they and he's still getting the job done. That guy doesn't age, I swear. He does. He does look great. How old is Kenny by now? 65 years old. Absolutely amazing. 135 feature wins at the Reading Fairgrounds? Guy's just amazing. He is, if you ever met Kenny Brightbill in person, the thing that always stands out with him, I shook his hand one time. His hand's the size of a badminton racket.
He has a size 19. His Syracuse ring is a size 19. I can put it around two of my fingers, maybe even three. Size 19 ring he wears.
I could put that around something else on my body, too, but I'm not going to get into that right now. My God.
And the thing about it is,
Mrs. Brightbill is a very happy woman.
He's humble. Everything he's did in his career, he doesn't brag about it. It's just something that he's done. He ran NASCAR. He finished the top 10 in a couple races in NASCAR.
Yeah.
But he actually was offered the NASCAR ride, I believe, by Walter Ballard. But Brightbill told him, I make more money running at Reading and Nazareth and Flemington than I would following the NASCAR circuit.
That's amazing. Great, great guy to meet and talk to. Yeah. Mark was just saying that Kenny was saying, who would have known that NASCAR got as big as what it did. He's just a great guy. So congratulations, Kenny Brightbill, for the win. And Mike Bednar, is that correct, Mike?
Mike Bednar, yes. He's friends of John Kovach IV, who runs the sportsman at Grandview.
He picked up the second place, and Paul Letier Jr. was third in the Speedsters. Slingshots. Mark Sensenig picked up the win. He was followed by Travis Beaver. Congratulations to Travis. And our good buddy, BFL, Larry Rafe Snyder. Great run. Just caught Danny Buccafusca.
Coming off of four,
right at the finish line to pick up third spot. So that was awesome. And I spoke to Mike earlier this week, as I said before. I went to the Action Track last week, and I ended up calling Mike and talking to him about this. The 600 wingless at the Action Track are absolutely, positively phenomenal. They are unbelievable. If you have not gotten to the Action Track this year, the 600 wingless are worth the price of admission themselves. It's very reasonable to get in.
I mean, it's $11 for adults, and it's even for special events now, $11 again for adults. So that's not really bad. And the idea that the 600 micros winner there, they go from top to bottom, two wide, three wide, four wide. There is no such thing as limits on the racetrack for these guys.
No.
They're all over the racetrack.
The initial drop of the green, there was four lead changes within a lap and a half. I mean, just slicing, dicing, just unbelievable. I sent a text to Billy Pouts Jr., and I said there was a dash that night, and that dash alone was worth the price of admission. It was just absolutely amazing. So 600s were won by Mike Rutherford. Billy Pouts Jr. did pick up second place in that, and Chad Van Horn. Is that of the famous
yep.
Van Horn family? From
he's part of the Van Horn family, yes.
Fantastic. He picked up third. Great time at the Action Track. Get up there. If you haven't gotten there yet, get there. Wednesday night, they start at 6 o'clock?
Yes, they do. Tomorrow night's the Kutztown Comet 100 for the Slingshot, 750 to win.
Now, for those who may not understand, what is the coalition of the Kutztown Comet 100? What exactly does that mean to me?
Well, Freddie Adam was a driver at the Reading Fairgrounds and all over the East Coast, Northeast, and he was based out of Kutztown, Pennsylvania. And when Warren Ruffner became the announcer at Reading in the mid-50s and Freddie showed up, Warren was known for giving nicknames at the time, and he gave Freddie Adam the Kutztown Comet nickname, and that stuck with him ever since. And in fact, at the Action Track, there is a Kutztown Comet Freddie Adam number 8 section. That's the first section that when the people come to the racetrack to watch a race, that's the first place they go. They want to sit in the Kutztown Comet special section at the Action Track.
Awesome. So this will be a great tribute for a great man.
Before Langhorne, winner, national. Who would have known that? How many cars did he used to get for that, Mike? Over 100 cars?
He got about 160.
Yeah, and he won in Bullock 76. I was there. I was 4 years old. And if I recall, that was the last race Langhorne ran. It's dirt.
It was the last dirt
yeah.
race. In fact, he wasn't even in a challenging spot until two laps
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Two laps to go, and all of a sudden, you know, there's Freddie, and then come checker time, there he is.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That was awesome. Man.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Got a couple more results to go over here. Bridgeport Speedway. It's. I was kind of informed at the track that apparently Bridgeport and New Egypt kind of got everything done even before we got started at Grandview Saturday night, which is kind of wild. But it's pretty cool.
And Lincoln.
Yeah. So that all worked out. Tell you what, it could have been very conceivable that they could have made it. So
I think the New York City Marathon got over before Grandview got started.
The main thing, I mean, about it, and I'm not much message board reading or anything like that, but it seems like they're really facing issues at New Egypt Speedway as far as car counts, people leaving, and that's not what racetracks are here for, but, you know, you have to actually bend a little bit for your racers to come back and your fans to come back. And evidently, they're not doing that to keep their racers, you know, satisfied in coming back to race every week.
Right.
You got to give it to Grandview for even making an effort on Saturday.
It was
incredible.
Absolutely amazing.
I mean, there was a really good crowd there and everything, but the rain and then, well, you know, being the sun came out, that helped. But there was rain everywhere. And they got hit with two storms and everything like that, and they sort of streamlined the show a little bit. Unfortunately, the late models didn't get in, but they'll run two features this Saturday. And
yeah, they get a double dose this Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. And some people don't realize, or I don't know if it went unnoticed, excuse me, Bobby Gunther Wall Saturday night, had he not broke, he would have won the feature because Dwayne broke, and Bobby was running second. He was pretty far out. I don't know
right.
if anybody took notice of that.
Bobby was very impressive that night.
It was.
I was informed through an informant that shall remain nameless that Bobby had the big diamond set up in that particular car. Bobby feels much more comfortable with the big diamond set up and racing a big diamond. Wanted to give it a shot. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's probably going to have that back again next week. I think he'll have that same exact setup. So anyway, Bridgeport Speedway. Big congratulations to our good buddy Rick Walbach. He was followed by Mike Isles. Richie Pratt was third. Jimmy Horton was fourth. And Gentleman Jack Swain was fifth. Haven't heard that name in a while.
Jack Swain, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
And
Bob Lilick picked up the win. Chris Lilick was second. Matt Budd was third. Ryan Anderson was fourth. And Gary Heber Jr. was fifth. Keep in mind, Saturday night, 20th, is Saturday Night Stars. It is Bike Banner and Pennsylvania Night. Free grandstand admission to motorcycle drivers. Okay, good deal. Plus a banner contest and $10 adult grandstand admission for Pennsylvania residents. That is pretty cool. Thank you, Bridgeport Speedway, for doing that.
It'll cost you $5 to get over the bridge, so you'll use it on the way home.
You know, it's one of the deals.
That's a good deal. You're right. That's very nice.
That's awesome. I love that these tracks are really getting out incentives to get people to come in. There's no reason for you not to hit up your local speedway. I don't care if you're in Jersey.
One of our slingshot tracks, which is actually Buck Speedway, which is part of Deer Creek Speedway out in Minnesota, Spring Meadow, Minnesota, they actually had a pack of track. They've been doing it now for the last 10 years. It's free admission for all adults. They had 18,000 people show up for the race last Saturday night at Deer Creek Speedway.
Oh, my.
It was so full that they actually had cordoned off part of the infield, let them into the pits, and just put them up on top of the scoring towers. 18,000 people.
Very impressive. Very, very impressive. I wonder if that's going to happen to Big Diamond this Friday night.
I don't know. That's a hell of a lot of hot dogs, I'll tell you that.
That is. Also, Bridgeport Speedway. They're going to have a 30-lap Big Block Modified, a 20-lap Crate Sportsman, and a 15-lap Outlaw Stock Cars. Pit gates open at 4:30. Grandstand gates open at 5:30. Racing starts at 7. And I do apologize for this. I failed to mention that when I said to Bob Lilick, won that feature there, that was for the Crate Sportsman. I do apologize for not getting that.
You know, there might be a Quaker Shaker Rick Lovach spotting at Big Diamond Friday night.
Is that the word on the street?
Yeah, word on the street in the Ed and Karen Nortarski number 11.
Interesting.
Yeah, for the fan.
Danny Johnson's back in the Petruska 66, and Petruska said, in no way in hell will I ever put
Danny Johnson back into my race car, but guess what? Friday night at Accord, Danny Johnson's going to be back in the 66.
Well, there must be a way in hell then.
Yeah, what did they always say, Mark?
The doctor is back.
The doctor.
Speaking of Big Diamond Speedway, Fandemonium Part 2. They tried it last Friday. Unfortunately, Mother Nature didn't cooperate. Free grandstand admission. You heard me right. Free.
18,000 people are going
to
be there.
No. it will cost you zero money to walk through the gate to see a complete show at Grandview Speedway Friday night.
What's the 3 1/4 for a cheesesteak?
The cheesesteaks are fabulous.
I brought that up because they're your favorite.
Diamond Dog, the first time I was at Big Diamond this year, I seen my good friend, the Diamond Dog, and he's like, dude, you got to try a cheesesteak. Did you have one yet? I said, no, I did not. And he said, you got to go try one. So I got my pennies scraped together, $3.50 later. I get this cheesesteak, and I got to be honest, it was awesome. Great food up there at the Big Diamond Speedway. So they were kind enough to get this Fandemonium thing going last week. They're even kinder to extend it to this Friday since it was rained out. So make sure you get your butts up there to the Big Diamond Speedway.
It's a regular show.
Buy lots of food at the concession stand. If they were kind enough to let you for free, at least be kind enough to buy food from them. Because they said so. So, also, Big Diamond Speedway has added something to the end of the season. To close out the season, they're going to add 4 Sunday shows in September. So, I think Diamond has experienced 8 rainouts this year.
7 so far.
7 so far, which is just ridiculous. So, their way of saying thank you, and we still want you to come to the Speedway, they're going to add 4 Sunday shows in September, so make sure you get out there and support those guys and see what's going on. So that is at the Big Diamond Speedway, Minersville, Pennsylvania. So that's what we got cooking there. Okay. Mike, you were talking about New Egypt. They got a very good amount of talent down there. There's no question about that.
What's going on and what happened the last couple of weeks, some of them are actually defecting and going down to Bridgeport.
Ah.
And one of their loyal racers, Ron John Cozon, had enough the other week, and he's selling his entire racing stable. So, you got to...
That's kind of drastic.
Yes, it is. Yeah, Ron John Cozon, just the whole stable. So, but then also we got the sprint car invaders coming in. The World of Outlaws head to the Central Pennsylvania area. They're going to be at Williams Grove on Thursday and Friday.
Hmm?
So we'll see what happens there. It's just the idea that can Fred Raymer, I believe Fred Raymer has finished every race that he's run this year in the top eight. Every race.
He's had one hell of a year so far. It's just unbelievable.
It's amazing that, you know, he got out of the 51 and everybody thought his career was going to go downhill, but he hops into the Selp 20S, leading Williams Grove points, and that's incredible. No single dropout the whole season, plus, you know, not outside the top eight. That's great.
It's an amazing feat. It really, really is. Absolutely amazing. Results for New Egypt Speedway are as follows. Billy Pouch took the win, followed by Neil Williams, Tommy Farrell, Ted Cox, and Ryan Godown. Sportsman feature was won by Mikey Butler, JT Trasensky. I do apologize for hacking that up there a little bit. John Cornell III, and Brian Romer, and Jim Howsworth. Nice run for Jimmy. Good job. So they got a couple things going on here, too, next week. Saturday, July 20th is Bike Night. New Egypt Speedway is also currently accepting $10 donations towards the purchase of the bikes, which we raffled off on Saturday during intermission. Your donation will get your name and your company's name on the bike and announced over the PA system during the raffle. Our good buddy Nick Leach will be taking care of that. So make sure you get down there and check that out. Starting times have been pushed back for Saturday. Please take note of that. Pit gates open at 4, grandstands at 5, hot laps are at 6:30. The first green flag is at 7. If you would like to donate, contact the Speedway at area code 609-758-1900, or you may email them at nesoffice@comcast.net. So hook them up. Give them a little donation. Get some bikes out there for the kids. Everybody's a winner on bike night. And Corey Fleming just did that. I believe I was away.
2 weeks ago.
Corey Fleming, awesome job. You do that every year. It's just amazing. I applaud your efforts for doing that. The kids love it. Fans love it. It's very big of you to do that. So I'm sorry I wasn't here last week to say that. So I'm saying it this week. What's that, Tam? The Queen has informed me that some of the kids were posting videos of the kids riding their new bikes, courtesy of Mr. Fleming.
Yeah, the winners were from 4 years old to 12 years old, and I believe the four-year-old actually called Corey over and gave him a kiss on his cheek to thank him.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Excuse us for
and
one second.
And also, Bill Henning donated three train sets, NASCAR train sets. Two were patterned after the Kyle Busch 18. The other one was patterned after the Tony Stewart. So I thank Bill Hennings for many chains for donations for that. But I think one of the big stories this week was Tony Stewart calling his driver an a-hole.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I actually had a video posted on Facebook about that. I was able to find that. He didn't just call him an a-hole once. He called him an a-hole twice. Apparently, Tony was not digging Mr. Kinzer's bigness that particular night, and he ended up getting upside down, coming out of four, and he wasn't real happy. Mark, I had you on mute there for a second. What exactly did you say about Ernie and Marilyn Saxon with the bike?
Ernie and Marilyn Saxon donated a few bikes to the Corey Fleming bike drive as well that Saturday night.
Very nice stuff. We, Mr. Feltberg and I need to give Mr. Ernie Saxon a shout out on the show here tonight. Ernie knows what this is all about. We don't have to go into any details. We're all bugged. It's all good. We're just having a good time. And Ernie proved how much of a class act he was. And we really sincerely appreciate the very nice email that we got from him. And
the guys got sent to the principal's office.
We did. We got reprimanded a little bit. But, Ernie, if you're listening by any chance, we really appreciate the email. That was just a class act on your part, and we're going to try to behave a little bit more next time. We still love you, buddy.
It's tough behaving when we do the RCN broadcast, which will be this week. If they actually did some of the broadcasting in the off times, we might actually have a show that...
Tell you what, it would definitely be a hit. It would definitely be a hit. So that's going to work out real well. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a short break here right now. So we're going to sell a little bit of product, grab a bottle of water, cool down a little bit, and we'll be right back here in a few short moments.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cajun's Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cajun's Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cajunscandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cajun's Candle. Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential and commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal serves the Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prompt friendly service, please give Diamond Disposal a call at 610-845-1117. Or visit them on the web at www.DiamondDisposalLLC.com. For all of our loyal listeners here at Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a one-month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So give the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. And remember, don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal, 610-845-1117.
Welcome back, everybody. Back to Lowdown and Dirty. Here in the shop tonight, joining me is Mike Feltenberg. We finally have Mr. Mark the Shark Garmin mic'd up, so we're good to go there. And Tammy's doing, I don't know what Tammy's doing. Tammy's watching her dog sleep.
She's playing some kind of a computer game there.
Oh, geez. Hey,
hey,
I know this is a dirt track show here, and we don't like to talk about asphalt too much, but what do you think about that whole Danica boyfriend crash deal going on there?
I actually like what Kyle said about her first, the idea that she's nothing more than a, you know, publicity or a marketing person in NASCAR. You know, she has no talent. You know, in the big track, she can run good at a small line, but, you know, when it comes to race time, she's really brutal. And she sort of has proven that on the small tracks like Bristol and Martinsville and stuff. But, you know, Kyle laid into her, then she laid into her boyfriend's Ricky Stenhouse and put him into the wall.
What they need to do is tell Danica what sponsor Ricky's driving and make sure she knows what number he is so she stays off his ass.
Why? He's on hers.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. We'll be appearing all weekend. Please tip your barmaids and waitresses.
Yes. Absolutely.
She was actually at the Post News.
I would look at that.
She turned them down, right?
Didn't Courtney Force pose nude?
I got to be honest with you. I give a crap if the other kid could drive a car or not. I think she's banging hot. I think she's hot. And the whole being a salesperson, GoDaddy hit marketing genius right there.
That's what they need because you look at the stands. They need marketing. Well, explain Travis Pastrana to me then. Same deal.
He brought a sponsor in. That's why he has a ride.
And he's followed.
With Kevin Harvick's now in the Tony Stewart stable, and Ryan Newman's gone because Harvick's bringing in Budweiser. And it's not how good you bring in as far as money's concerned. So it's incredible.
It's Courtney Force.
Miss Tammy was kind enough to show us a very nice picture.
Yeah, the
tire
was pretty nice.
Miss Force, yeah. Was there a tire in there?
The tire was really nice. While we're not actually on the subject, but on the subject, we were talking about this. I don't know how many people actually go to the races to listen to the national anthem, but some of these national anthems sung at NASCAR races and races in general downright I mean, I wish they would sing it the way it was meant to be sung. I believe Jesse's daughter, National Anthem, she does incredible singing.
That guy that sang it a few weeks ago at Grammy was pretty good.
Yeah, who was that guy?
I have no clue who that was.
Does anybody know that you did that?
Some people do.
Some people know. Well, we're going to make it public now.
And the only reason I did it was I used to sing in All City Chorus when I was 40 years ago when I was a kid. And they didn't have nobody to sing, and the CD wasn't in, and they just gave me the microphone, and we sang. That was it.
I wasn't there, but I was told you did a fantastic job by several people.
That's what I heard. Well, when you sing, especially inside a booth, you really can't hear yourself, and you don't know what it comes like outside or nothing like that.
Did a good job. Very good job. You didn't forget the words, which I've seen people do already.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I had Maurice Cheeks waiting in the wings to help me out.
Yeah. Well, then later on, that was an RCN broadcast, if I remember correctly. Later on, we had the Mike and Mark show that did the Canadian national anthem during intermission. So it's kind of crazy. Kind of crazy stuff. Excuse me for 1 second. I'm being handed.
I think that's Corey Merkel information.
Well, there was some Corey Merkel information there. I'm also being handed a note here that apparently I'm not making my captain very happy. So, Mr. Captain, Mr. Scotty Deal, I love you, brother. Well, kind of. I will try to get back on topic again. Why don't you call in and tell me what kind of topic to be on? Sorry, Tam? Yes, Scotty, since you're capable of listening to the show right now, I would love to have you call in and explain to me and my co-hosts here and our loyal listeners exactly how well Indiana Midget Week went, because not all of us had the luxury to go to Indiana Midget Week last week like you did.
Well, they're even running sprint weeks out there, too.
Uh-huh.
USAC has their sprint weeks going as well, so.
He had quite a dose of racing out there. So him and a couple buddies headed out west, and he said it was a blast. I seen a couple little video clips he had posted on Facebook, and he said the ride kind of sucks, but it's part of the deal. But he said overall it was very good racing. So, Scotty, if you're out there listening to me, give me a buzz. Very curious to hear what you got to say.
That's like I went to Gas City a couple of years back, and the amazing thing about Gas City is the people do not hot laps. They'll get in their cars, they'll do whatever they can do to avoid sitting in the grandstand and hot laps because the clay flies in hot laps.
Is that right?
They do not want to get pelted sitting in the stands during a Gas City hot lap session. So, and it's almost like a religious thing out there. As soon as they know the hot laps are over, the grandstands fill completely back up so they can watch the actual racing. An incredible racetrack out there.
I've heard a lot of good things about that. Kokomo is on my bucket list. I really want to get to Kokomo. I've seen so many YouTube videos about that place, and they're just using every square inch of that track. It's unreal.
And I know we don't want to talk about NASCAR, but that Eldora truck race on dirt, is going to be phenomenal.
I think it's going to be pretty cool. I'm very curious to see that. I'm curious to see how some of these guys can handle going sideways. I mean, it's a different deal.
Scott Bluquist got a ride, I saw.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, what kind of sponsorship are they pulling in? Do you hear anything on sponsorship?
I don't know, but I imagine tickets are going to be hard to get.
I think this is going to it's got to be a great marketing opportunity for sponsors. I mean, you got TV. It's new. It's different. It's innovative. Hop on board, man.
Years ago, NASCAR ran dirt a few races, and you know, I'm talking, you know, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. They should still do that. Like you know, national champion, asphalt and dirt.
Well, while you were talking about the sprint week, speed weeks out in Indiana, one of the areas, and I would say the nation's most popular sprint car drivers, Levi Jones, pulled the plug on his racing career immediately.
Did.
And that's incredible. I mean, that guy was a blast to watch. He wasn't afraid to put it between cars, outside of cars, inside of cars. If there was all he was going for, you know, he's only 31 years old.
I know.
Levi Jones. Calling a racing career ready so we can spend more time with his family.
I commend him for that. I do remember receiving the information on that a couple weeks ago, and I had the pleasure of interviewing him just a few weeks prior to that. Very nice gentleman, class act, on and off the racetrack, and he's going to be greatly missed. But I tell you what, I got all the respect in the world, having raised two children of my own. It's just an amazing thing that he did. So I wish him the best of luck in his future endeavors. I'm sure that after a little while, he's got to be involved in racing to some capacity, don't you think? It's kind of so hard to step away.
He probably could be, but he said he's stepping away completely. So, and immediately, and that's the thing, you know, he said things weren't gelling with his race team, and he wanted to be with his family, and that's what he did. He just called it.
I know this is pure speculation on my part, but does the Jason Leffler crash weigh in on a decision like that? I'm not saying it did. I'm asking. It's a rhetorical question. I mean, you know, it's a tough deal.
Yeah.
Tough deal. But, hey, God bless him for whatever he wants to do in his future endeavor. So that's pretty cool. Dan, do we have Scotty on the line yet? I think you should call Scotty.
Well, I just saw there was also, they had it posted on one of the message boards, there's a top 25 PA, top 25 sprint car drivers in the last 30 years. They didn't give the top five yet, but they actually had Billy Bowsey listed as 12. They had Keith Kaufman in the top 10. They had Chad Layton. They had Aaron Pittman. Bo Smith. Yet Steve. They had Bo Deschamps. It's to the point where, and they had Bobby Allen and Patrick listed in the top 25 in the last 30 years. I would have to stretch them beyond the 30-year message. What they did in the 70s. Was far more than what they did in 1980, 1982,
1983. Yeah, that list is completely wrong. That list is completely wrong.
Apparently, we have a caller on the line. Hello, and welcome to Lowdown and Dirty. Hello, welcome to Lowdown and Dirty.
Joe, is that you?
It is me. Is this Scotty, the Captain Deal?
I think. Last time I checked, it is, yep.
That's cool. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to get you silenced here on my computer so we don't have that feed. Oh, that might be better now.
There we go. You sound nice and loud and clear to me.
Good, good.
You
How's everybody doing
me.
There tonight?
We're doing very well, except that you reprimanded me while I was on the air. I got a little love note handed over to me. And you and I are going to have a serious chat. You know, it's
reprimanded for Bernie Saxon and Scott Deal all in the same week.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've been sent to the principal's office twice this week. You
hey,
know,
I was out of town. What all happened up there, man? It sounded a little brutal. Ernie having to get the stick out on you guys and stuff.
Well, I blame most of it on Mike and Randy, of course. Because I'm the one talking right now. what actually happened there was Mike and I decided to do a little parody of the Hey Jude song, which included our buddy Whippy, which was like, hey, dude, you know. So and we were singing, and we were loud, and we were a little obnoxious. But, hey, it was late. You know, everybody was goofy. We were having a good time. And to be perfectly honest with you, Mr. Saxton didn't mean any harm by it. He just wanted us to be a little bit more quiet in our efforts. And we abided by that, and everything worked out quite well.
Well, apparently he wasn't up to speed the other week when the Canadian anthem was sung.
No, he was not. No, no. I don't even know if he knew about that. I don't know if he knew about that. So,
well, I'm sure you guys will take heed and calm it down a little bit.
Well, see, we have to worry about those guys, those people in the front that sit right outside of the area. They're always screaming and hollering for somebody. They're Kyle Weiss fans, you know, and stuff. And they were getting a little overly anxious as well. Me, Randy, and Joe, we sort of got to the point we couldn't hear ourselves, so we wanted to be a little bit louder, and the loudest spread over into the scoring tower, so Ernie came over and told us we have to be quiet. We sort of did. It was no major issue, and I'm actually glad he did, because Kemp is in his place.
We understand the pecking order.
But we do have a new song for Whippy, though, in Victory Lane, if he ever wants to sing it. So.
We come up with a new parody theme song for the Whip.
Nice.
And we certainly hope
nice.
Whip's listening tonight. Whip, we miss you here tonight. Dude, man, I love you, you know. I don't know where you're at. You know, it's just not the same here. We're actually doing the show downstairs in the shop in the Arctic blast of the downstairs air conditioner. It was
Are we ever going to make Bandits?
Bandits? Okay, here's the skinny, here's the scoop, here's the scam, here's what's happening with the Bandits. The last time I spoke to her was just last week. They are probably about a month out. They have a lot of little finish work to do. And things like that. It was a major, major task to get this thing going. But she did speak to me about doing a show back there. She's very excited about that. So, for all you listeners, we told you before, we're going to keep you informed when the Bandits Inn finally does open. We will be doing at least one show back there. We're going to do like a beta test back there to see how it goes, see how many people throw beer bottles and food at us because of our talentless.
Well, you'll be
act.
Signing free autographs, Joe. So
I will. I will be giving away free autographs. Yeah. And so it's. I'm looking forward to getting back there. I think it's going to be pretty cool. I think it's going to be beneficial for Jackie, the owner of the Bandits. You know, Tuesday nights are not real big bar nights, so we'd like to see everybody come out. You can come out, watch us make a fool out of ourselves, or take in all the information, but.
Well, they might even have some interesting questions along to help us out with the broadcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think it's going to be pretty good. So, Scotty, you know, again, as I mentioned on the air before, after you reprimanded me, just to throw that out there again, that you had the pleasure of heading out to Indiana last week. So how did you enjoy your trip, my friend?
It was one fantastic trip. Anybody that gets the opportunity to go out to Indiana and thereabouts to take into some sprint car racing, midget racing, or whatever, I recommend it highly. The people are great, great race fans. The tracks are absolutely phenomenal.
Cool.
You know, Class A facilities. I walked into Lawrenceburg on Sunday, and honestly, I thought I was walking into a top-notch amusement park. It was just phenomenal. I mean, all the sidewalks, paddock area, and everything are completely concrete. The bleachers are all aluminum with backs on them.
Wow!
It's a highly banked. I think they call it a third of a mile. It just reminds you of Grandview like crazy. From the configuration of the track. And, man, do sprint cars get it done on that track. It was amazing.
Cool.
It was amazing.
Now, Scott, if you mentioned wing sprint car racing out there, did they crucify you?
No. No, actually, their biggest crowds at Lawrenceburg are when the World of Outlaws come. And the World of Outlaws get around that track in just about under 2 seconds. It's like 12.2 seconds they get around that track, and the people
that's
love wing sprint
mail.
Cars. Yeah, they like their wing sprint cars out there.
Beautiful.
It's not a bad word. I mean, it's like when we get the USAC coming in here, and people go a little crazy. You know, it's the same way out there. When they get a wing sprint car club coming in out there, they just get a little fuzzy and say, this is fantastic, because they don't see it every week, you know?
Exactly. So you had a blast. I'm happy for you. I'm glad that you're back. I hate to admit this. I did miss you a little bit last week. You actually could have been part of the quartet had you been there with the whole Hey Dude song. So this could have worked
you know
out
what?
Pretty well.
I'm sort of glad that I wasn't there, you know?
You know what?
I don't need to be reprimanded, you know?
What did they have for support classes, or didn't they have any out there, Scott?
Oh, at Lawrenceburg on Sunday, I was actually able to see my first IMCA modified show.
They put on that a great show, don't they?
Correct. Yeah, that's it looks a lot like our modified, just with a different front end. They run a 2x4 front end on them, and
they actually have
very
a subframe in them, I think.
Say again?
Yeah. I think they actually have a subframe in them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. And then over to Kokomo. They had,
I hate you for that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, how does it feel to want?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Over to Kokomo, they had just Thunder Cars. And up to I-69 Speedway there, they had the Focus Legend / Honda USAC Midget group there. And that was entertaining. They were the last feature of the night, and they just went flip crazy. But,
oh, boy.
Yeah. But Gas City I-69 was my favorite track on that trip.
Why so?
It was the smallest track, the no fence track, the less banked track, but it was the craziest racing four wide stuff you ever saw in your life. And their clay, when it hit you, it stuck to you. I mean, it was like glue, you know. It was like having a pile of pie dough thrown at you. It stuck all over everything. It was fantastic racing.
Cool. Let me ask you this, buddy. Would you do it again?
In a heartbeat. When are we going?
Whenever you want to go.
All right. Save your pennies.
It sounds like a plan. Is it? That's a very fair question. Is it a very expensive adventure to do this, Scotty?
No. I you know, four of us rented a car, rented a van, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Although gas in Indiana was more expensive than it was here, you know, like regular would start $375. We got cheap rooms at the Days Inn, you know, kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you're never there anyway, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I don't need to live in a lap of luxury. I mean, as long as there's a place to shower, shave, and shampoo and sleep, man, you're good to go.
Yeah, and that's all we did. And it was not an expensive trip.
Good.
I'll give you the dollar amount details at some later date.
Awesome. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, but I think a crew of four can probably do it for, you know, $350 a piece.
That is not bad at all.
Yeah.
It's very affordable. We definitely got to do it. Definitely.
I'm ready.
Definitely. You just got back and you're ready to go already.
I am. I'm ready to go to the second half, really. I got to talk a lot with Mark Smith last week. That was entertaining.
Yeah, I remember talking to you about that. That's cool. Pretty good dude to hang out with.
Oh, he's fun. He's fun. And his beautiful wife was on T-shirt detail for them. And Mark was out there on a limited budget when he wasn't able to make the show outright on speed and qualifying position through a heat race. He chose not to run a Concy a couple nights.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But, you know, you gotta, you know, he's learning. He got better as the week progressed, and you talk to him about, if you, anybody from PA here gets a chance to talk to him, just look him square in the eye and say, how do you like wingless sprint car racing? And his eyes light up, and he goes, this is the greatest thing, you know. I love this stuff. And I said, yeah, Mark, we need to bring this back to PA.
Yeah, it is good stuff. I've become such a fan of wingless midget and sprint car racing over the past few years. It's unbelievable. I mean, the amount of the slide jobs, the rim ride and the high, the low, it's just incredible. It is just unbelievable.
The 3-4 wide, you know. It's
all
just,
day long.
Yeah.
But they still respect
amazing.
Other competitors' equipment. That's the thing.
They do. There's a lot
they
of
They really
there.
Do. Yeah.
Were you around, Scott, to hear the announcement for Thunder on the Hill for July the 30th? Did you hear that?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's a great... Great adder, and you know what? I forgot to ask Mark about that, see if he was coming in for that. I hope he does. He would be a good addition to that show, but yeah, I hope we get a lot of cars for that show.
I think that will be. Yeah, I'm glad you touched upon that. I wanted to touch upon that at the end of the show. July 30th, Tuesday, Thunder on the Hill, was the ROC Race to Champions race. 60 laps for the modified. So, you know, qualifying in the 60-lap feature. Bob Miller was kind enough to bring in the 410 sprints along with the ROC Race to Champions deal. So this is just a home run show. They're going to have time trials qualifying and a 35-lap feature. And the most amazing part about this whole scenario, I spoke to Bob Miller on Saturday. He gave me a call, and we chatted about this. And from the people I've just been talking to around town and race fans that have heard about this show, cannot believe the price tag is $25 to get in for both of those premium. we have a guy sleeping in the studio right now. For both of those premium forms of racing. I mean, it's $25. You just can't beat that. I mean, you're going to see.
Let's just remember that Mr. Miller was on this show not that long ago, and the direct question was asked to him, "Geez, why can't we get USAC sprints and midgets?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a one night, and he said, "Hey, it's cost prohibitive. You can't have two first class shows and or divisions come to one show and expect to pay for it for something that the people can afford." You know,
yeah.
And he
made
it. You know, he's keeping this show at $25, like you said, Joe, is absolutely remarkable. So I'm asking our fans to go out there and support Mr. Miller's show here. This we got to pack the place. We just got to show our support for a promoter stepping up and giving us two first class.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you.
On one night.
Well, what the fans need to understand too, this rock race that was originally scheduled was 60 laps, $5,000 to win. Okay. So you figure, okay, they're going to throw the sprint cars in there for 35 laps. What are they going to pay them? Well, guess what? They're paying them $5,000 to win as well. You got $10,000 just in first place money for both divisions, and he's keeping it at $25 a head. Absolutely.
That's stepping up.
It is. It really is.
We've
said this a million times on the show here already. Mr. Miller is definitely a friend of the show. He's been a longtime customer/friend of mine for many, many years. The guy is just a class act all the way around, and very proud to say that I know the guy, and he's just a class act. That's all I can say. He's just a really good dude. So,
yeah,
like Scotty said,
get
out
there.
Support the show. Get out there. They also, not many people have mentioned this, many Thunder in the Hill shows do not have a rain date. This particular one does have a rain date. The rain date is the following night, which happens, the Queen is doing a little dance now. That happens to be her birthday, which is Wednesday, July 31st. So if we don't get it in Tuesday night, if Mother Nature wants to be a little crabby that night, we always got the next night, and it's just going to be an incredible show. Very much looking forward to it.
So I guess we're not going to have Lowdown and Dirty that Tuesday night, huh?
No, we will probably take off that Tuesday so we can go and enjoy the race like everybody else. So we'll be back here next Tuesday. We'll get all prepped for that, and we'll be set to go. And the Queen is informed.
And it will be August.
It will be August.
This thing, man, get out there and go. You get to your tracks, man. You know, racing season is better than half over now once that show's done. And
yes, you're exactly right. The summer is chugging along. There's still tons and tons of racing to go, but the summer is moving along very rapidly. There's a lot of options for everybody everywhere on a Friday and Saturday night. Get out and support your local speedway. With that being said, Scotty, I appreciate you calling in. We're going to take a small break because we're going to get our good friend, Mr. Danny Snyder, 2 weeks fresh off of his – it's an oxymoron, right? 2 weeks fresh off of his Firecracker 40 win at the Granby Speedway. So very much looking forward to talking to Danny. Scotty, I hope you continue to listen to the show, and if you need to reprimand me, please do so. I'm a big boy.
I will do. So you're on a short leash, so just keep
that
in mind.
I think the person here that needs the most reprimanding, to be honest with you, is Tammy.
Could be.
All right,
see you at the Pickle Patch.
Hey, I appreciate it very much, Scotty. Thank you so much for calling in. As always, a pleasure chatting to you, my friend.
See you guys.
Scotty Deal, everybody. Bye, Scotty Deal. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a brief break, sell some product, maybe play a little bit of music. We're going to get Danny Snyder on the line. We're going to get him all queued up. And when we come back, we'll chat with our good friend, Mr. Danny Snyder. So please hold on. We have more. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Low Down and Dirty. After our short break, after talking to our good friend, Mr. Scotty Deal, from his fabulous Indiana Speed Week trip. I'm happy to hear that he went out there. I'm not happy that he didn't take me, but it's one of them deals. We got a good friend, Mr. Danny Snyder, on the phone right now. Danny, hello. Welcome to Low Down and Dirty.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, good. How about you?
Doing great. Appreciate you being on. We do apologize to you. Last week, I know you were supposed to be on the show. Apparently, there were some issues here. I was not here. Mr. Feltberger informed me of some issues that were going on, and we had to cut you from the show last week. But, hey, we're more than happy to have you back this week. I can say this, even though we had a week in between there, you're fresh off the Firecracker 40 win at Grandview Speedway 2 weeks ago because you guys didn't race this Saturday, obviously because of the weather. But how'd that feel, pulling into Victor Lane for that big check?
Felt pretty good. I mean, 2 years in a row, that's a great thing.
That's the other thing I wanted to bring up.
Everything worked out in my favor.
Yeah. Yeah, you had the car locked down. I unfortunately wasn't there that night, but I heard you were super, super fast. And that's a tough race to win. And to do it 2 years in a row is saying something pretty much right there, buddy. We congratulate you very much on that.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Now, I know you spent a lot of time. You're one of the few guys that race a late model Grandview Speedway that are willing to go to some of the other tracks that aren't really so close here. And how's that been treating you? I do follow you on Facebook, and I know there's every now and again there's some mechanical issues, and it's a tough gig out there when you're racing against these super lates and everything. But can you bring any of that information that you learn at another track back to Grandview Speedway?
Yeah, you can. It's a big learning experience, actually, racing out other tracks. You learn a lot about how to set up your car on different tracks, how to handle different drivers, and know how to judge what they're going to do. But it's a good experience to race other tracks. We love to do it.
Good. Now, how do you feel when you go into a venue that you've never been to before? Is it intimidating? Do you feel that you got to kind of earn respect there going into it, being a new kid on the block? Or what is your mindset going into a place like that that you've never been to that might be 200 miles from your home?
It's a little scary sometimes. I already said to my parents, you know, maybe I should start in the rear and just get the feel of the track. But you go out there for warm-ups and take a couple laps, and then you pretty much got it in your system what you're going to do for the night.
It's pretty cool. It reminds me of a statement that our buddy Levi Jones said to us here on a show a few weeks back. It doesn't matter the track that he goes to. They're all round, they're all brown, and they all got a victory lane. So I guess once you get the helmet strapped on and get out there and gas it for a little bit, it all becomes second nature to you. Now, do you like the smaller tracks such as Grandview, the third of a mile, or do you like airing it out a little bit on the big half-mile speedways?
I love racing Grandview because you'll never find a track like Grandview. I mean, it's the highest ranked track in the area, and it's fast. I mean, there's nights you don't have to lift off the throttle.
Wow.
But, you know, when I go out to the half-miles and stuff, that's exciting, too. It's an adrenaline rush when you get on the big track.
Well, Danny, you actually – I flagged the late model race and a speedster race out at Path Valley last year. You were there. A little high-bank, wide quarter mile. What is the sensation on a track like that? Are those late models too big for a track like that? Or is that track with the width of the track and the banking of the track, does that actually fit the late models out there?
No, I love racing Path Valley. I mean, that's a lot smaller, but that's even higher banked than Grandview. I mean, a super late on there is it's probably a little too much. I did have my super late there once, but when I do race there, I race my Grandview car there. I just love racing my smaller car there, but I guess whatever kind of night it is, if it's a really tacky night, a super late's going to go there and really hook up. I mean, that track's just like a bowl, and it's great.
Just stand on it and go, baby, right? Gas it and hang
yeah,
on.
don't look back.
Now, did you ever run at a big track like Susquehanna?
I never ran Susquehanna, but I ran Keeling's Grove and Port Royal, Williams Grove one time.
Well, it's quite a diversity of tracks there. I mean, do you have any plans on heading out later this year at the end of the season, like when Grandview wraps up? And if so, where do you plan on heading out to?
We try and head out to wherever we can go. 2 years ago, we went to Delaware, Cumberland, Maryland. Port, Keeling's Grove. We try and go wherever there's a race, actually, at the end of the year.
Gotcha.
Now, must you alter your trunk and your back foil and stuff for the other tracks, or basically what you run at Grandview, does that settle in for the other tracks that you decide to run to at the end of the year?
It varies. It all depends how the night's going to go, but... It varies. You can run the same thing if you want.
Okay, now I interviewed you in the victory lane of the Firecracker 40, and you said you were actually scoreboard watching. Well, is that something you normally like to do? Challenge or you have to worry about going through lap traffic for? Or is it sort of just sit in a seat and take it off and go?
What was that? You were breaking up.
Did you normally watch the scoreboard? Because I interviewed you in Victory Lane after you won the Firecracker 40. You said you were watching the scoreboard. Do you normally do that? Or do you just like to just set your sights on what's in front of you as you're racing?
No, I don't normally do that. But a big race like that, you never know who's coming behind you. But you can see the scoreboard pretty good coming out turn two there at Grand.
Do you have any aspirations on moving into something else, Danny?
I would love to race a 410 sprint car, but between me and my parents, we can't afford to do that. I would love to have a ride in one, but I don't know if that would ever happen.
There you go. You can at least put it out there. You just put it out there in the show. So anybody that's looking for a late model driver to maybe step up into a 410, give Danny a buzz. Take a crack at it. Now, Danny, you started back in the day, back in the quarter midget ranks down at the Montgomery County quarter midget track. And how many years did you race a quarter midget down there?
I started when I was five and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out of it when I was 16.
And then you went right into the late model ranks?
And then, no, I sat for a couple of years. I didn't anything, actually.
Well, your father raced.
Yeah, and then I started racing up at... Yeah, my dad, my sister, and they had a hired driver.
Gotcha.
Okay, now, if your family wasn't oriented into racing, was there any other sports or anything else that you were interested in doing other than driving a race car?
No, that's pretty much all I was into. I tried a couple sports like baseball and stuff, but it just wasn't the same thrill as getting behind the wheel.
Exactly. Now, speaking of the thrill of getting behind the wheel, I was told a little story about your quarter midget racing endeavor one night that you were going to be fancy and you were going to put some dice valve caps on your quarter midget racer. How did that work out for you?
I think it looked good.
Yeah.
But
you were styling with
I don't think it made me go any faster.
It didn't make you go any faster. Well, what exactly happened the night that you put these fancy valve caps on the car?
I slipped over.
Yeah. Yeah, again, that didn't work out too well for you. Now, you being the great, great brother that you are, you decided that, hey, you know what? these whole valve cap, these whole dice valve cap things didn't work out so well for me. So you were smart, and you removed them, which was probably a smart move. It could have been a little jinx for you. But being the nice brother that you are, you decided, all on your own, to put these same exact dice valve caps on your sister's car. And what exactly did your sister do the following week when she drove her quarter midget?
She flipped over too.
It was so nice of you to do that.
Are they part of your race for the memorabilia now? Do you still have them anywhere?
No, I don't think so. I think they might wound up in the trash can.
I was kind of informed that Mama wasn't real happy with that whole maneuver there with you putting them on yours or your sister, so I think they may have been thrown away before you could get a chance to put them on somebody else's car.
Yeah.
And get upset. The Queen just said you could have put them on all the competitors' cars. I just thought that was a hilarious story, and I thank you so much for sharing. Our good friend Mr. Mark Garman has a question for you, my friend.
How you doing?
Oh.
Danny, how you doing? Hey, tell everyone out there about your unique jack system that your dad built for your car.
It's a hydraulic lift. We copied it off my dad and his friend Jamie copied it off a super late model team in Arizona, and they copied it and built it. They cost about $3,000 to buy one, and we built ours for about $700.
Nice. Now, I'm not really familiar with this setup here. Danny, can you explain exactly what this hydraulic lift does?
It slides underneath the car of a late model, and you push a button, and the car raises up about a foot off the ground.
Unbelievable.
So all four wheels are off the ground, and have to use a jack.
That is actually really cool. Now, is it pretty quick? Is this something that you'll use? Is it like, say, you got the right side boogered up and you got a right front flat and a right rear flat. Is that something you can slide under the car and get both of those wheels changed at the same time?
You could, but not in a flat. It would take a little more time to get it underneath.
Oh, okay. So this is basically.
So a jack works a lot faster.
Yeah, okay. So this is basically for if you come in after the heat and, hey, the car's a little loose, the car's a little tight, you can put it up on this lift and you can make some chassis adjustments relatively easy with this particular setup that you have.
Yeah, you just put it up, all wheels are off the ground, it's a lot easier to work on.
That's pretty cool. I've never seen that. Never seen that before.
Now, Danny, most of the late model teams consider the Firecracker 40 as the dividing point for the point championship or what's going to happen for the rest of the season. You look at it that way as, you know, your station in points at the Firecracker 40, you know, depending on how you're going to finish at the end of the season. Is that like your point that reference that you go to?
Yeah.
Never seen that before.
The Firecracker 40, it makes you or breaks you in points. I was fifth going into the Firecracker 40, and I came out third. So it definitely helped me out.
Pretty good game.
I haven't been having that great of a year. But it definitely worked to my advantage. It's a double point system, so it's a big deal if you don't do good in it.
Yeah, well, speaking of a double point system, you're going to have the same deal basically this Saturday night. You got two features to run. You got to make up from this past Saturday, and then you're going to have your regular Saturday night deal. I would imagine that you guys will be running first to get that out of the way. Now, you're going to be going onto a pretty heavy, wet, sloppy track there, and it's going to be pretty fast. How do you think you're going to get your car set up for that? Because you typically run on a little bit of a drier surface on a weekly basis.
Yeah, as far as I know, we're actually going to run our makeup feature at the end of the night.
Oh, is that right?
As far as I know, that's
what
we were
told. Oh, okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Thanks for the info.
But if I would run first, I would just leave my heat set up in it, a little looser, and hope for the best. most times when you run first in a makeup feature, it's normally single file.
Yeah.
But I think running last will be a big advantage because the track will be a lot wider.
Yeah, it's going to be – if you guys run that last, it's going to pretty much be black from the bottom to about three-quarters of the way up through. And do you like running across the black like that, or are you just going to try to get up on the top and find a little bit of moisture or try to stay stuck down on the bottom and try to find some moisture down there?
Well, it depends what kind of black it is. If it's a real icy, slick black,
yeah,
it's hard to hook up on it.
Yeah,
but if it's a rubber down black –
yeah, start to tighten up
for you. Really fast.
Yeah, yeah. And you won't know that till you get into it because you're going to have 30 laps of modifieds on there plus another 25 laps of sportsmen on there. It's a very good possibility it may start taking rubber after that time.
Yeah.
What would you rather have? Would you rather have dry slick, hard slick, or would you rather have it start to tighten up and take rubber?
I like to have the tighten up take rubber.
Then you can really gas her.
Yeah.
Well, Danny, what kind of chassis?
I like to put the hammer down.
Yes, you do. Put the hammer down. As our buddy Whippy would say, dude, you're the hammer. Danny the hammer. So what kind of chassis are you running this year, Dan?
2010 Laser.
That is a Bernheiser race car product.
Yes.
Awesome. Now, geometrically, is there a lot of difference between the 2010 versus the 2013?
There's a couple different changes. Not too many. I have a 2013. Actually, I got one this year for my big motor.
Mm-hmm.
He just changed a couple things, but all in all, they're pretty much all the same.
Good. Bernheiser makes a fantastic product and a product that's been very successful at Grandview Speedway. The thing that amazes me the most about a late model, having been around them for many, many years, actually hanging out with Flying Jimmy Bernheiser, the amount of adjustments on a late model are absolutely mind-boggling. You ever get in a situation there where you just kind of outthink yourself and trick yourself right out of the ballpark?
Oh, absolutely. It can happen really quick.
Yeah.
There's weeks when I say, I'll never do that setup again.
Well, the four-link suspension adjustments back there are mind-boggling. There's a million different more adjustments and settings on a late model than there is on a modified any day of the week. You get the fifth coil. You got your four-link suspension set up on how it is and how the bars are, plus your panhard settings and everything for side bite. I mean, obviously, I would assume, maybe I shouldn't do this, that you take pretty good notes on a weekly basis that you can learn from and kind of build off of on a weekly basis?
Yes and no. I normally just set my car up, scale it. I don't scale it every week. I do scale it, and I set it where it's at, and if I get in a wreck or something, then I'll put it back on scales, but I pretty much leave my setup alone, and mm-hmm. then you just adjust the rest with bars and shocks, springs, and stuff.
Gotcha. It's pretty amazing how far the shock combinations have come over the past few years. Do you find yourself really going to the shock pile more and more to get the car to react the way you want it to versus what you did maybe 4 or 5 years ago? Or is that something that you've always played with as far as your shock packages are?
I always play with it. It's tough to say. I mean, on a late model, there's more adjustments on the left side than there is probably on a whole modified or anything else out there.
I'm in total agreement with you there.
But now the shocks these days, you have double adjustables. You can run stack springs.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is
me,
crazy.
I just run a baseline setup. I just have regular gas shocks, and I just run regular springs. I don't get carried away like that.
Yeah, I know that there's so many combinations out there. Now, running on a smaller track like Grandview, how crucial on a late model is something as simple as caster and camber and even bump steer for that matter?
Caster and camber, that's pretty important because the high banking at Grandview, your wheels actually, they move more than a flat track.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty important.
So in other words, you'll run a lot
of driver preference.
Yeah. So you'll run a lot more camber, say like at Grandview Speedway versus a little bit of a flatter track like Williams Grove, correct?
Camber, I would say anywhere you're going to run that the same.
Okay.
But it all depends. Where Jim tells us is set it. I
mm-hmm.
don't always run it there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how it appears sometimes. So it's all up to the driver more or less.
For those of you that are listening that may not understand exactly what camber and caster is, caster is very simply like a caster wheel, like on a shopping cart. If you have the caster center, right above center, the wheel turns very easily. Correct, Danny? You know, when you turn the wheel, it's if you roll it back a little bit more, it steers a little bit slower and reacts a little bit slower and gives a completely different feel to the car. The camber is actually the leaning of the tire, which is the top part of the tire that leans in versus the bottom part leaning out. And bump steer is when the right front steers a little bit more than left front. Say you get a jingle in the heat, and you whack the right front corner. Are you just putting upper and lower control arms on and hoping for the best, or do you have tools there at the speedway that can kind of get you in the ballpark with the camber, caster, and the bump steer?
We have tools.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get an exact no, but you do what you can at the track with tape measures and toe plates. You get as
right.
close as possible. There's
yeah.
there's sometimes when you reckon a heat and you gotta go out for a consi, you just throw parts at it.
You don't have any time. Yeah, there's another thing you touched upon was tow. Tow is very important to a late model, as a modified than any other racing really. But when you're thrashing around, and you guys are really really tight on time a lot of Saturday nights at Grandview Speedway. If the sportsmen and modifieds run through pretty quickly, you guys are getting called out for your feature and. If you do get balled up a little bit in your heat, is it a little unnerving going out on the speedway and getting the green flag for the first time and bailing her into turn one? Are you just hoping she sticks? Or do you have enough experience to kind of know what the car feels like underneath you?
Yeah, you hope it sticks. you always hope for the best. I know a couple of weeks ago when I blew a water pump, I was just ready to give up and put it in the trailer. And my dad and crew, they said, no, let's put one on. And
mm-hmm.
we worked on until about feature time to get it on there.
That's tight.
And, I went out and won, which was great. But it all depends. You could go out there and have a good car with bent stuff, or
mm-hmm.
it could be exactly right and not work at all.
You just never know.
Danny, Grandview's late models basically right now is a quality more than a quantity class. And you've been racing there a lot of years now. Have you found the 2013 basically to be the closest contested season of late model racing down at Grandview this year? Because you really can't pick a winner. You can't even pick a division and finish in five. Your class right now is so evenly balanced that, it's just one of them deals that who gets out in front of the quickest.
Yeah, that's what I always say to my parents. Whoever gets to the front first, most of the times is your winner. But all the competitors this year, they're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Every week it's a different winner,
mm-hmm.
and that's what makes racing. And I think as the year goes on here, we're going to get a lot better racing up front
mm-hmm.
now that we changed the invert system.
Gotcha.
I think we're going to get some two, three, three wide race in there as the year goes on.
Always looking forward to seeing
that. As far as this year, Danny, Grandview increased your late model feature from 20 to 25 laps. Does that breed more patience into you, or does that just give you five more laps to try to, you know, to pass the guy in front of you and move towards zero?
Well, it all depends. Some weeks, you know, you're out front and you're thinking, man, I wish this feature was only 20 laps still. And then, you know, when you're running third and you got 20 laps on the scoreboard and you think you can still get a win, you know, then you're looking for that five extra laps. So
exactly.
It all depends how you look at it.
Right.
I know leading the 40 lapper, I was like, I hope this is over soon.
Well, that's the thing, too. You know, you get out there, Danny, and you just have a god-awful car. You know, you're up there in points. You know, what's your mindset? Do you just want to pull off? Do you just want to just ride it out and just hope for the best? You know, as the weeks wind down and you're getting closer and closer to that point chase finale, what do you do?
It's tough. I mean, I already had weeks where I just wanted to pull off, just a waste of fuel and tires some weeks to me when I set it up that bad.
Yeah,
but
sometimes you just don't hit it happens.
You don't ever want to give up, because that's when you get beside yourself and you get all upset. But
Now, do you come to a track, Danny, do you come to the track with a setup based on what you've done weeks before or how you go to the track, or you come with the track with a setup from what you've done the week before?
Sometimes you just don't get out of here, it happens. Yeah, you don't ever want to give up.
I come to Grandview every week with the same setup every week, and then as the night goes on, I always adjust it to – I always run off about the second modified heat and look at the track.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get out on the track, I normally see how black it is.
Right.
But every week for my heat race, I go with the same setup.
Gotcha. Now, I know throughout this entire interview, Danny, you spoke about your parents a lot. I know this just from the history we've had with each other, but your parents are a very integral part of your operation. And explain to me some of the things that Mom and Dad take care of on a weekly basis for you.
My parents, they take care of everything for me. I begged them for 4 years to race Grandview, and they kept saying no. They kept saying no, and I said, "Here's the deal. If you can give me a motor, I will pay for everything else."
Awesome.
And they said okay to that, and it's been going good. The frame I have now, they did buy for me. We bought that used off of Kyle Merkel.
Okay.
But pretty much everything that I need to get to the track and everything I wreck, I pay for. And
that is amazing.
Whatever my sponsors give me.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever I get back on racing, I use, too.
Fantastic. Now, I know you did pick up a new sponsor this year. Why don't you go through and explain some of the sponsors to us and exactly what they do?
I'd like to thank all my sponsors. The sponsors I did have and the sponsors I got this year, I really appreciate it. my sponsors are Rhodes Brothers Livestock Hauling, Ford's Property Maintenance, Goldie's Butcher Shop, Identity Graphics and Printing.
That was your
Mike
new one for this year, correct?
Truck Park. Yeah, Identity Graphics. Truck Park too.
Oh, okay. That's a new one as well. Now, this Identity Graphics, what kind of graphics are they producing? Are they doing like business cards, posters? What kind of things do they have going on down at their facility?
Yeah. Business cards, brochures, magnets, window stickers, pretty much anything. He does do some vinyl, but nothing like race car vinyl or anything big like that.
Right.
But some vinyl he does do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we appreciate all your sponsors, as we do every sponsor that's on any race car out there, because if it wasn't for these guys and gals that that put forth the money and effort for your team and everybody else out there, we certainly wouldn't be enjoying this sport that we love so much. So let's give the sponsors a round of applause. We love the sponsors around here. We always got to love our sponsors. No, we appreciate everybody stepping up. Now, Rhodes Brothers have been with you for quite a number of years. Is that correct?
Yeah, since the second year I started there.
That's great. You guys have a nice rapport with each other, and they're certainly happy with the way you've been handling yourself and conducting yourself. You know, a lot of people don't realize this. They just think, you know, you get sponsors on a car, you take their money so you can go racing. You realistically are a representative for every business and sponsor that's on the car. So apparently Rhodes Brothers and everybody else that is on board with you are very pleased with the way you conduct yourself and handle yourself. And, you know, hats off to you. Keep plugging away and keep doing what you're doing, my friend.
Yeah, it's every year I get about one new sponsor, which is really great. And
let me ask you this: what are you going
to
do when you run out of panels? What are you going
to
do when you run out of panels to put the sponsors on, bud?
I guess we're going to have to put big sail panels on.
There you go.
I
was going to suggest that to you. Sail panels on late models. There you go.
Hey, Danny, every year, the last couple of years, they've had the roofless late models down at Grandview. Do you feel like taking the roof off your late model and touring the Grandview Speedway?
What was that? I couldn't hear you again. I'm sorry.
For the last couple of years now, you've taken the roofs off the race cars, the late models. Do you actually enjoy racing without a roof on the late model?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. You know, you look up and you can see everything, all the lights, all the fans.
That's cool.
I like racing topless. I like open comp too. You know, see what people bring. It's pretty fun actually racing open comp, sail panels and wings. I know that one year Mike Kellner had a wing on his late model, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, I love that stuff too, man. I love them open comp shows. That is so cool. Would you consider putting a big sideboard on yours and just really having at it? That's pretty major.
Yeah, I would love to do that. We just when we decided to run open comp, we didn't have time to do it. But if I knew about an open comp show, I would love to put like a 8-foot high sail panel on the side.
That'd be awesome. That's a lot of Lexan, but it's so cool. I remember when John Willman and Herther had it too.
Plexiglass panel.
Well, who came last year? Oh, it was Brian Sipe came there. Did he have a big side?
Yeah.
Sideboard on it. Yeah, Brian Sipe came there last
year.
Yeah,
he had one.
Yeah, and he was getting it too for a couple laps, and then there was a little crash there with the 72 of Wayne File, and then it sort of ended both of their nights. It was a little, but man, they were fast, super super fast. Well, I tell you what, Danny, is there anybody else you need to thank?
I would just like to thank my parents again and my crew. All my crew, they do a lot for me. I'm
mm-hmm.
very picky at some things,
mm-hmm.
and they put up with me.
That
but, you know,
anal.
I have to thank them.
Yeah. Now, your crew has been with you for a long time, too, and this is a great racing family. If you're at Grandview Speedway and you go back into the pits after the races are over, stop down.
He's fun to watch.
He's
fun to watch.
Absolutely. Danny's always a treat to watch on the Speedway. It's super, super nice family. Stop in the pits after the races. Go down to the 4S trailer. Introduce yourself. You know, buy a T-shirt, get an autograph. Danny will always take the time out to talk to you. Danny is a little shy, I will say that, on his behalf. I know he probably didn't want me to say that, but I know Danny was a little bit nervous coming into this, but you did a great job tonight, my friend, and we really, really appreciate you being on our show.
Thank you. I'm not a big people person. I just like to keep to myself.
Nah, there's nothing.
As long as you get the job done in the Speedway, Danny, everything else will just fall into place.
It does. There's no question.
That's right. I'm in my own little world in my race car.
Well, a huge congratulations to you again for picking up the Firecracker 40 win and the $2,000 paycheck. We wish you all the best of luck for the rest of the 2013 season at Grandview and all the other tracks that you decide to venture out to. I think it's wonderful that the local racers don't just get locked in with one track and they are willing to venture out there and experience new things. It is my firm belief that it only makes you a much, much better competitor and race car driver all the way around. So we definitely wish you all the best for all your future endeavors. And anytime you ever want to come on the show and announce anything or do something, you are always more than welcome. We're going to give you the clap. We appreciate you coming on tonight. We really do.
Thank you.
Danny,
thank you for having me.
Oh, it was an absolute pleasure. Well, thank you so much. You have yourself a great evening, and we'll see you around the racetrack real soon.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
Take care. Danny Snyder. Nice young man. Very, very nice.
A real treat to watch on the speedway. There is no groove that Danny will not try
out of that racetrack. He's not what we call a scared.
No.
He just goes out there and gasses her, man.
If there's somebody running the bottom and somebody running the top, he'll take the middle.
Yes, he will. Great kid to have at Grandview Speedway. I think it's awesome that he's going around to these different tracks too. You know, not just in Grandview spec late model, but he's got himself a super late too,
yeah,
which is just awesome. Definitely going to make him a much better race car driver. And he's young. He's got a long ways to go. So I tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to take a brief break, and we will be back in a few short moments, and we will wrap up this Tuesday edition of Lowdown and Dirty. So hang on, everybody, and we'll be right back shortly.
Cadence Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
welcome back. We only have a few minutes here. We got a couple announcements to make. First and foremost, before we get rolling here, I'd like to thank each and every one of the Kellners for being part of the Lowdown and Dirty Meet and Greet at Grandview Speedway Saturday night. They were a huge hit. Unfortunately, I missed them. I wasn't able to make it up there in time because I had to work, Miss Queen. Don't be shaking your finger at me and sassing on me. Come over there and kick your ass. But no, the Kellners are a great, great racing family. They were very popular out front. They signed autographs, talked to kids, kissed babies. They did everything. I mean, they're just great, great people. And they brought popsicles. That's a fantastic idea on a super, super hot day. This coming week, meet and greet, none other than the Perez, Mr. Jeffrey Strunk in his four-star transmissions car. He will be joined by a late model racer of the 46 AMB, Amy's ordeal. I don't even know. I still say it's more her husband's deal, but whatever. Dan Green will be out there with the 46 late model. We are currently looking for a sportsman to step up to the plate and volunteer and come out for the meet and greet. If you go out to the meet and greet, it's only a half an hour long. It lasts from 5:30 to 6 o'clock. Some autograph cards will be provided for you free of charge, compliments of Almond Photography. And just meet the fans, shake hands, kiss babies, sign a few autographs. A lot of people don't get a chance to stay after the races and go back into the pits and see what's going on. So it's a really great opportunity to showcase yourself, your sponsors, talk about your sponsors and the reason that they have you there at the Speedway. You know, maybe wear a sponsor shirt, represent yourself, and get out there and meet some of the fans. So get out there. Mike, what do you got cooking on Saturday? You got something happening at the Grandview Speedway?
Yeah, RCN will be broadcasting on Saturday night down at Grandview. In fact, we're looking forward to having the extra late model show there as well. So the RCN, anybody in Lehigh Valley, will be watching the racing action broadcasted on RCN cable, RCN4. Randy Kane and I will be bringing to you the action from the Grandview Speedway. I guarantee we're not going to have any broadcasting booth episodes like we had last week, but we'll try our best to bring everybody to racing action.
If I bring my headset up, can I just plug in and start talking on the TV show?
I believe there's an extra jack in the back of it, so yeah. I always plug you when you're there anyway, Joe.
I know. Appreciate that very, very much. Mark the Shark, weekend's coming up. What do you got cooking? Where are you at Friday, buddy?
I don't know where I'm at, but I know this. We're looking for Tom Miller, sportsman driver, to come sing the national anthem at Grandview. He's an Elvis impersonator, Heroes of Rock and Roll. A little honka-honka burn. That's what we're looking for. So if Tom's out there, contact Mr. Saxton. We need Tom to sing the national anthem at Grandview as Elvis. Yes, I saw his act.
About 5 years ago when I was down there, an incredible Elvis version, but he does it the way it was meant to be sung.
Yeah.
Incredible version by Tom Miller, the man of a thousand voices.
Fantastic.
That's right.
Well, Sharkman, you're going to be up at the Big Diamond Speedway Friday night for
I imagine if you take me up there.
Yeah, I'll take you up there.
I'll be there.
I've been to Shark's Tax for years, going to the coal hole.
We've been all on and off, taking turns, but, you know.
Good. And, you know, after the races, what's our most favorite thing to do?
Oh, Schuylkill-Haven Sheets.
Schuylkill-Haven Sheets. Stop in there for a schmuffin and a chocolate milk.
Daddy.
Feel free to join us. If you see the car or truck sitting there, swing on in. Say hi to the Shark and Joe.
I can see the Wing Warriors.
Wing Warriors at the famed Williams Grove Speedway Friday.
I'm going to see if Tony Stewart calls Steve Kinzer an a-hole again on because actually the NASCAR is actually off this week, so we
good
could
possibility
be,
he'll be
you know there. Could you see Tony
that,
Stewart
that'd
there?
Be a good wrestling match, Tony and Steve, like two little bears rolling around.
Yeah.
I also when we have the big race tomorrow night at the Slingshots at Kutztown, the Action Track USA, and my scripted TV show is coming up next week too. So
100 laps of the Slingshot action at the Action Track USA tomorrow night. That's right, 100 laps for the Slingshot.
Century grind, Daddy.
At lap 50, we're going to bring up to a halt the start-finish line. The top half of the field is going to have a pit stop. There's going to be somebody coming. They're going to take your car, jack it up, change your right rear tire, pull off to a checkpoint area, and that's how you line up for the second half of your race.
I love that. Linda Speedway did that last year. I thought that was the coolest thing because the guy leading ended up coming out like fourth.
Ninth.
Was that what it was? Ninth. I knew he had a bad pit stop, and he never gained. He never
yes.
never got back. So that's going to be cool. Now, it is 100 laps, Mike, but you are counting caution laps, correct?
Caution laps count to 5 to go.
5 to go, then it's free reign. Yes. So we wish all the competitors at the Action Track.
And if anybody's current last week at the Action Track, they saw the Slingshots run a 20-lap main with only one caution.
That was a good run. It was a very good run last week. So get out to the Action Track. Get out somewhere this weekend. Always hit up your local Speedway. And all three of us, of course, will be at Grandview Speedway Saturday night. Mark will be running his in-car as usual, doing his deal, singing a Canadian national anthem in the booth. As Mike mentioned earlier, he and our good friend, Mr. Randy Kane, will be in the broadcast booth with RCN for all Saturday night's action. So I'll be there.
And my Strapped-In TV show Monday night, which you can see live in the Berks County area or on www.bcc.org, we'll have two times. Slingshot National Champion Brent Beaton is the special guest with the all-car extraordinaire announcer Barry Angstad.
Barry's the man. Love Barry. Barry's a great guy. Barry is also the voice of the Action Track USA Kutztown.
Back to earlier in the show, we touched on the sprint car list a little bit here and there.
Yes.
We don't know who the top five
is. Top five is not given yet.
I got to take another good look at that because I think it's all wrong.
If Mark says it's wrong, it's got to be
look
wrong.
Look at Keith Kaufman at like six.
Yeah, that's
like
wrong. That's wrong. Where's Mitch Smith at and Elmer Ruby and Kenny Weld?
The last 30 years.
What's the use of having it then?
This guy only followed his sprint cars in the last 30
years. Then we need to make one up, Mike. Put
there
Opperman on there and guys like that. Yeah, Van May, Dub May, you know, guys like that, yeah.
We'll get them on the
list. My dad.
There's a good topic. They don't have the top five listed. I would have the top five would be Framer, DeWeese, Hodnett. Oh, my God. Who else can you slide in there? Framer, DeWeese, and Hodnett. Who can you put the other two?
There's a lot of talent, man. We'll leave that up for discussion for next week. We will be back next Tuesday night with Lowdown and Dirty. The following week, on the 30th, we will not be on air due to the Thunder and Hill race that we all like to attend.
And Don Kreitz got to be in that
top. Don
Kreitz.
The catfish, the bottom feeder himself, left turn signal on, down by the curb. Yes, and July 31st.
And maybe Todd Schaefer.
Queen's birthday.
Todd Schaefer, probably. Jimmy Nace.
Like 18.
Jimmy Nace, somebody like
July
that.
July 20th, we'll have the Posse at the Pass.
Posse at the Pants. You're going to be flagging on that, too.
410 sprint cars on a high bank quarter mile. Last year it was won by Cole Duncan, who actually passed Danny Dietrich and Fred Raymer for the win. So,
and remember the Shanesville Fruit Festival coming up.
And the sprint cars next week.
Awesome. Billy's always fun to watch. Billy gets around great in the 600 wingless. Okay, so we're going to wrap up the show. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in and listening to us. As always, we appreciate your patronage, and we hope to see you all back here again next Tuesday night for Lowdown and Dirty. On behalf of Mike Feltenberger, Mark the Shark Garmin, Tammy Allman, this is Joe Adams signing off for this edition of Lowdown and Dirty. Thank you so much. Have a great evening, everybody.